You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Hello and happy Friday. I'm going to set a pretty picture for you. It is raining outside. I have a candle lit. I have my incense on, Nag Champa, for those of you playing along. It's the OG incense. My little girl is down for her nap. My husband has the afternoon off work, and I am recording this before I go off to a bodywork session with beautiful Asha at 3:30 the Savo. It's a Tuesday and I feel great. I'm really taking a leaf out of my what's the vibe this week, which is carving out the spaciousness for self, being really Taurean and deliberate in, you know, how I'm setting the space and all the things. And I feel really good for it, I've got to say. But today I am going to take you guys into, give you, lift the veil, if you will, on a session I had, a kinesiology session I had last week, and the specifics that came up for me in that session, because I sat the session on Wednesday last week. It's been 5 days, or it was 5 days, and already results of what we cleared in that session have come to fruition. And I want to explain a little bit for those of you who are maybe unsure first what kinesiology is, and then I'm going to dive into what specifically I was working on in my session last week and what's come through almost immediately, like so quickly. So kinesiology, I'm going to butcher this, by the way, because I'm not a kinesiologist, but I would say that it is an energy practice, and it is the practice of using muscle testing, where you are testing someone else's energy field, either through virtual testing. So you can do virtual clearing on people, or if you're in person, you might have seen people test on your wrist or your leg, or you moving forward and backward. There are multiple different ways to test. But by using self-muscle testing, you're tuning into a person's energetic body and able to clear stagnant energy or move through in a somatic way, potentially blocked or highly concentrated, compacted energy centers, and move it through the body so that you're able to live in a more coherent, congruent, inspiring and alive kind of way. I've been seeing various kinesiologists for coming on to 8 years now, I want to say. Before I even stepped into my own business, I had my first experience with a kinesiologist, when I was just leaving corporate land and really wanting to tend to my nervous system. And from there, my deep love for kinesiology has grown in terms of me receiving, being on the receiving end of kinesiology. And for the first few years of my business, I was almost seeing a kinesiologist every fortnight, I want to say, because there would be a block that would come up in my business, and I'd be like, let's clear this through my body. And maybe I was a bit addicted at some points. But as of me now, I have not had much kinesiology or received much kinesiology in the last 18 months. I worked a lot with my beautiful friend, doula, family member, Zoe, who is just beyond kinesiology, but it is one of the modalities she uses in her session. And we did a lot of clearing through my pregnancy, a lot of focus clearing in my womb space. You guys, if you've listened to my preconception journey podcast in season 2 with Zoe, you will have heard. Zoe also did lots of clearing for me in the birth portal itself. And so it was almost after birth that I stopped relying on kinesiology, because I really just needed to get through last year, like survival mode style. So I started to feel the pull toward kinesiology this year because I am back in my life in a big way and noticing patterns that are coming up in my life that aren't related to birth or necessarily being a mother, but more around how I'm showing up fully in my life and patterns that have been hindering my fullest potential. And so it
just turned out last week that I was able to sit down with my beautiful friend who also listens to the podcast. Shout out to you, beautiful Pixie. I mean, Pixie is her nickname, but if you want to look Julianne Kelly up on Instagram, she is phenomenal. She, like Zoe, is so much more than a kinesiologist. She does use kinesiology tools in her sessions, and I haven't sat opposite Pix in probably, I think it would have been my last time would have been when I was pregnant or even before that. And I haven't received kinesiology also because I know how to self-clear. And for those of you who are interested in learning how to self-clear, I definitely recommend Zoe's book, Change Your Life, because she teaches exactly how to self-clear and the practice of self-clearing on certain aspects of your life. And that's a really great place to start. I've gone into much deeper in terms of my ability to clear myself. And it's just been something that I've really utilized very, very frequently over the last 2 years and not really needed or felt the need to rely on anyone else to clear me up until recently. And there has been this thread that has been following me recently. And it's one that I also, it's just like classic me, isn't it? Talking about a thing that usually people hold shame to, and I'm just going to talk about it like it ain't no thing. And so when I sat opposite Pix in our session last week, she asked me, you know, what is it that you're wanting to look at? And I sat and shared with her that I'm truly probably the best that I've felt about myself in 2 years in terms of the way that life is and how I'm feeling in my life. But what I have felt for a long time now, and I've spoken about this on the podcast before, is there's a cap I've put on myself where I am now and professionally the life I want to live and I desire to live. And I've really not allowed myself to want for more and want for what's next. And it's been an interesting one because it's like that thing we do where we bypass our desires under the guise of gratitude. And so what I have done is I've looked around at my life and gone, I have a healthy child and a beautiful relationship with my husband. And we live in our, you know, dream area in a home that is beautiful and offers us everything we need. I have a great car, you know, like all of the material needs are met. I have published my first book. I am making money again. I have recovered mostly from the trauma of last year. And so what's happened is subconsciously, but also I think I've been a little consciously aware of it, is I've gone, that's good enough for me. That's enough. That's it. So I've capped my life at 33. I've capped it and I've gone, this is it. And I am a gal who lives to dream. It's my job is to activate our potential in each other, like in all of us, to understand like you are worthy of your wildest dreams, like whatever it is you desire, you're worthy of. And I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs going, no, this is fine. I'm happy. It's good. And I'll tell you why, because I've got some really hectic, major dreams. And so what's actually stopped me from stepping into them is my resistance to owning them, to be unapologetic in my ownership of them. So I'm going to share that with you. And you guys know to a degree, I've shared, I want to get back into modeling. I really want sponsorship for this podcast. Like these are the direction that I want to take my life is as a leader in the fields of, yes, spirituality, but greater than that in terms of public commentary, media commentary, you know, being a sought after panelist. If you guys used to listen to my other podcast, The Middle, you know, I have wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars for many a year now. But I have to be a star first. And this is the other thing, my resistance to claiming that I desire a level of recognition that feels very uncomfortable to say, but I'm going to claim it here. And that is fame. Fame. I desire fame. Oh, there we go. I got it off my chest. Hi, my name is Holly Azzopardi and I desire fame. It doesn't feel so bad saying it. But last week, oh my God, even admitting to Pixie in our session, this, I want to clear my resistance to fame. I had to then justify myself to her. And I'm going to do it to you guys too. So you see where I'm coming from. But hopefully I've given some of you an exhale, by the way, because I'm here to just unshame fame. Okay. Firstly, it's been innate in me since I was a very little girl. You guys know I am a Leo sun in the second house. I am my work in the world is my personality. That's my work. That is what I'm here to do. It's written in the stars. Okay. Don't argue with me. But secondly, is I'm a projector and recognition is one of my signatures for success, right? So when I am recognized in what it is that I'm doing, which in this case is being a personality, is bringing my face to the forefront of things, is bringing my words to the forefront of things, is bringing my image to the forefront of things, like that, when that is recognized and that is my work, then that is success. Then my life flows. It's almost been this thing that I have wronged myself for in my persona, which is very innate. It's my desire to be seen. It's my desire to have a spotlight on me. It's my desire to be recognized. And I have wronged myself to no end for it, because we do in our culture as well have certain judgments around, especially influencer culture, being famous for the sake of being famous. And I'm looking at them, the people being famous for the sake of being famous, and going, wait, I want some of that. Give me more. And the desire for me is stemmed in a desire, yes, to create impact and to use my voice for pieces like, you know, spiritual concepts that need to be discussed in a more mainstream environment. It's to, yeah, be shot in beautiful campaigns and have that body image representation of women like me that I didn't see when I was a little girl. Like, yes, there is always an undercurrent of good intention, but for the most part for me is like not needing to justify that part of my desire and part of my, the piece that feels success for me is a recognition thread, is a fame thread. I'm very excited when someone recognizes me in the street. I would be blatantly lying. And I know this isn't everyone, by the way, but this is me. I'd be blatantly lying if I was like, oh no, it makes me so uncomfortable. No, come up and say hello and that you listen to the podcast. It makes my day. So these are all the parts of me that I'm reclaiming. And when I say I'm desiring fame, it is not at the fucking Kardashian level. I think that this is what we think is like, if someone wants to be famous, we think, oh, they're going to go on Love Island. No judgment, but it's not my vibe. They're going to go on Love Island, or they want to be like a Kardashian or reality star. That is not what I am seeking personally. Also, if it's what you're seeking, own it. I'm here for it. I think it's that other thing around people, like tall poppy syndrome, is like, I don't need to know why you desire what you desire. I think to a degree we're born with certain desires. And so long as you're not hurting anyone or yourself in the process, I don't see any issue with any of it. But for me, the pinnacle, and this is the person that I brought to my session with Pixie, was I love, oh my God, has she ever listened to this? I don't think she will, but maybe. You know, it's not Taylor Swift, by the way, like, duh, but not Taylor Swift. I love Zoe Foster Blake. I'm so nervous that someone might know her listening to this and like tell her, but I don't care. I think she is like classy, elegant, smart, well articulated. She's obviously a writer. She's written books that have been turned into TV shows. She runs a very successful business in beauty. She was in Magland. Like, I just feel so much synergy with her. And she's married to Hamish Blake. I mean, that's definitely not. She's made it all on her own and then some. And she is recognized and she is famous and she is very wealthy. And I admire her journey and what she does in the world and how she utilizes her platform and her profile and her business to create difference. That is what I desire. That you can probably hear the passion in my voice. Like, that is the life I desire. And me capping myself in where I'm at now is not stepping into that. Do you know what else? And she's also a Leo. So she's obviously much more embodied in that element. And you guys know I have dulled my Leo shine the last couple of years, but I'm slowly but surely coming back online. But the other thing with her, with Zoe Foster Blake, and what I love is that she also goes out and enjoys her life. She's got that beautiful Leo shine of, you know, when she had, can you tell how much of a fangirl I am? When she had her 40th and all of her girlfriends, well, it was a delayed 40th because her actual 40th was in lockdown, but anyway, I digress. And they all went to Italy and they had this beautiful bougie experience, like wearing the most magnificent dresses, flitting around the Amalfi Coast. And it's like, I want that. I want that. And I'm not afraid to say that I want that anymore, but I was last week. It's 111 as I say this. So we're anchoring some things in here. So a couple of threads came up in my kinesiology session. I basically shared everything that I just shared to you as word vomit to Pixie. And she looked at me with her beautiful, glorious face, angelic face. She's like, And then we started to get to the undercurrents and the threads of my life experiences that have created shadow and resistance for me to fully step into these next level desires. And I want to speak to you guys about a few of them, because I will always show up in transparency and share what I'm navigating to a degree. And I think some of them are important because they might be reflective in your own life experiences as well. So my mom, when I was born, she was actually desired to be an air hostess. She really wanted to be an air hostess. She'd been approved, and then she fell pregnant with me. And so from that moment, her dream was put on hold and took the back seat. And she never went back to doing that. She was a mama, and then she got into teaching, and that was the new trajectory her life took. But when I had a look at my mum's experience and then my grandma's experience of motherhood and then went back through the female lineage, I realized, and even on my dad's side, my nunna was a mother of 15 children. The only child born in the hospital was my dad. He was the youngest. She birthed all of her babies free birthed in Malta, and majority of the time, a lot of the time through the wars as well. And she was a singer. My nunna was one of the first recording artists in Malta. My nannu was the guitarist that supported her on her in her music journey. And she became a mother, and that was that. And she would sing at our family gatherings through the years, but she never got to follow her dreams again. And so both sides of my lineage have been women that have sacrificed their dreams for motherhood. We're seeing a thread here. And so I brought this thread to Pixie in our session. I went, I don't want that. I want my little girl to see a mom who went after every one of her dreams, boldly claimed them. Her life did not become just about motherhood. Not that there is anything wrong with that, but it's just not what my true, if I was honest with myself, my true desires were. But I noticed that I was following in the footsteps of the women in my life, and I didn't want that. So that was the first thing I lent into. And there in the session, I had to start to boldly claim, what is it that I desire? You know, I want to get back into modeling. I want to get back into theater and acting. I want to have a talk show. When I was 16, I boldly claimed to my year 10 class that I would be Australia's equivalent of Oprah. That was my claim. And it wasn't, oh, I'm going to have a podcast one day and it's going to be well-liked and listened to and that's going to be it. It's like not capping myself. I mean, Oprah's a great example of not capping herself, you know? So these are the things I was starting to boldly claim in my session with Pixie last week. From there was also this massive fear around the scrutiny of my image and being seen, like fully seen, especially because part of my work, especially stepping back into modeling, is being seen in my body, being seen in beauty, and the resistance I have to those threads, which sound very fucking surface level. But I tell you what, for me at least, they run incredibly deep. Lots of imposter syndrome, and actually a need to prove that I am more than what I look like. That's been something I've carried with me my entire life, is like, I'm the smart one. I'm the funny one. I'm the class clown or the smart one before I am the hot one. You know, I've always resisted those sorts of labels and never allowed myself to be fully embodied in my physical. And so this is a really tricky thread for me to come into, because it's part of the work that I'm desiring to call in. But it again is deeper than that. I have been outright shamed and abused. I am going to use that word, and I don't use it lightly, for my physical body in my upbringing, for the size breasts that I have, for the way that I've dressed in the past that has not been any, you know, we women in general never ask for anything, no matter what you wear. But even still, I would dress incredibly modestly to deflect attention and to deflect unwanted comments and to deflect abuse, and I would still receive it. And so the deep undercurrent for me in terms of being seen is actually being seen in my body, and because what comes up for me is I'm going to be abused for this. And it's been my literal experience from as young as I'd say 12 years old. And so it we started to clear some statements, and I'm going to read them because this is how kinesiology works. You get to the roots and then you start to work on statements. And these are the statements that we started to work on last week. I'm 100% okay with being seen and accepted for who I am physically. It is safe to stand out. It is safe to be attractive. I release the belief that being in physical beauty is unsafe. The other one we worked on was I'm 100% okay with having all eyes on me. The biggest one we worked on, the biggest statement to clear was it's safe for me to be seen and famous. And it came back, it tested at 10%. I felt 10% safe. The biggest piece that came up for 80% was shame. I felt ashamed to desire that threat. I felt I would bring shame to my family because of past pieces. And just shame is the lowest vibration we can have on the scale of consciousness. Like, shame is the root here. And so we cleared that shame. Now, this is something that is important to know, especially if you are considering seeing a kinesiologist or working with energy workers. It's one thing for me to show up and work on these threads in the session, right? And go far out. Okay. 80% of this has been shame. And I need to clear it. And then, you know, you rub certain points in your body. It's another thing entirely to fully surrender to the process. And I think this is why kinesiology works for me so well, because my intuition is on my side and I'm able to get to the roots very quickly because I trust my intuition. So for instance, when Pixie says, okay, this is coming up as shame, what's that mean to you? I can instantly get the root, the moment, the memory, and go, this is what it is. And I pull it out in the moment. I am not afraid to go to the depths in these sessions. And I think that could be something that is just something to contemplate, is making sure that you are receiving this work from someone you deeply trust to hold you in the depths you will experience, because there will likely be some depths. And in my session last week, it was not without depths. I cried. I had to use sound to move energy through my body. I'm very aware of what helps me to move energy through. I moved my body physically, like my arms, my legs, my womb. I shook a lot out. A lot of it was me needing to talk to the experiences and talk it through with Pix. And even burping. If you know me, you know if I'm clearing your energy, I'm probably burping it out. And that is something that's very common in these sessions. Burping, laughing, crying, moving, shaking. If you are someone who expects the practitioner to do the work for you, you got another bloody thing coming. Like, this is the heavy lifting. So there was a lot of heavy lifting in that shame thread. It was majority of why I've been resistant to being seen in this next level. And we cleared it. And it felt great. And from there, there was only 10% more that needed to be clear. And it was dread. And the dread was about my little girl. And the dread was actually subconscious. I didn't realize this was a conscious fear I was carrying, but it makes sense to me now. And it was the subconscious fear. And this is what kinesiologists or good energy workers are able to uncover for you. The subconscious blocks that you don't even realize you're carting along. And I was able to get clear on the dread of, if people know me, and then people will know my little girl. And I've done a good job at keeping her name off socials, but as a profile grows, then you expect that more and more people are going to become aware. And it just doesn't sit comfortably with me, especially living in a small town. And so what came out of that is I'm no longer going to be sharing my little girl's face on social either. That feels really good, because it's like, okay, I can step into what I'm being called to step into without it coming at a cost to my little girl. And we even discussed that my little girl, I want her to see a mother that's fully and boldly claiming all of her dreams and desires and going after them unapologetically, as opposed to capping her life and going, well, this is good enough for me because I'm too afraid to dive into the depths that are calling me. So that was the session last week. What we started to embody into, to reframe was, anchoring myself into magnetisms and, as a projector, invitations that are aligned that I don't have to work hard for. So anchoring in big energetic projects that also don't feed into my time as a mother, as well. And off the back of the session, it was going to integrate in a day. My system tends to move things very quickly, likes to go to the depths. So we anchored in energies of peace, of love and acceptance. It was going to take a day's integration. And the action for my integration is to have a photo shoot booked in with my husband, who is a film photographer, and getting in front of his lens and starting to play with modeling and creativity again, just for the joy. And off the back of this clear, of course, two things happened yesterday. Firstly, an excerpt of my book was published over on only the biggest publication in this country, mamamia.com, literally the biggest publication in this country. Shout out to my beautiful friend slash client, Alex, who is very much a supporter of my work and yeah, managed to get me homepage, headlined article, what photos of me and my book excerpt, huge, huge, especially if you've written a book, you know, like those pieces are very coveted and very hard to manage. And it just happened. The same time I received a DM from a beautiful woman who was walking past Big W, and there was a Mother's Day poster, a really, really big one. And the model in the poster was reading my book, poster form. Within an hour, those two things landed. And that's when I knew I had integrated. That's when I went, right, okay, I've moved that energy right through because it's me being seen on another level. And when this happened, Trent turned to me, he goes, what's happening? And I said to him, babe, this is kinesiology. This is what happens when you do the energy work and actually show up and meet it. Now, I didn't just go about my life as if I'd never had that session and that what happened in the session was the only work I needed to do. The thing that come, like the integration and the embodiment of those shifts is how you show up and move differently, right? How you show up and move differently despite the fears that still do exist, the resistance that is still there. I'm just not allowing it to rule me anymore. And an example of that is in today's stories that I shared, I received beautiful gifting from a vibrator, a sexual empowerment company. They asked if they could send me a vibrator and I went, absolutely. And it's beautiful, Pierce. I haven't used it yet, but just it's so soft to touch. I was like, oh my God, I was rubbing it up my arm. They called my libido. And I shared it in my stories and there was that little niggle of resistance of, oh God, this is me really stepping into, showing up in my full, sexual empowerment, but I am not going to shy away from that anymore. And in fact, this might be what I speak to next week because this is a big part of my Lilith placement. And I'm not even going to get into that today because it's a whole other can of worms, but basically Lilith is an asteroid from memory, and it's the shadow feminine aspect of your persona and personality that's been shamed in the past that wants to come to light. So this is all very connected with my session last week, and my Lilith is in Libra in the fourth house, conjunct my moon. So for those of you who speak astrology, that'll just make total sense to you. But basically what it means is I have experienced significant shaming around my physical body, my sexuality and my beauty from a young age. And what my Lilith placement is here to teach me is to reclaim that. And so it's easy enough for me to go and do the kinesiology session and say, I want to stand in my light more, but then I've actually got to match that. Then I've actually got to show up. Then I've actually got to show the vibrator in my stories, even though it brings up resistance around me being too much, people looking at me and me being a sexual woman and what that will make members of my family think. This is the work. It's actually the work that happens outside of the session. Outside of the session's the catalyst. No, in the session's the catalyst. Outside of the session is the heavy lifting, how you show up and meet those challenges that you have been pulling threads at every day and how you choose a different way this time. That's embodiment. It's not I went and had the kinesiology session going about your life the same old way because nothing will be embodied. It just won't integrate. So this is why I feel that I'm seeing very rapid shifts is because I'm actually meeting myself in every resistance and showing up despite those. I hope this was an interesting chat for you. I am definitely going to be sitting with Pixie again soon, and I'm going to be diving into this Lilith placement of mine, my resistance to being seen in my magnetism and my sexual life force energy, and literally, how funny, I'm going from being like my fear of fame, we've cleared that, now it's my fear of sexy. I might open an OnlyFans. I'm joking. No judgment, but I won't. Who knows? No, I won't. It would be a really good stretch target, but I'm not. Leave it. I'm just going to stretch myself into getting back into like shooting for Bimbi and Roy. That's my stretch. Anyway, I'm sending you all my love, and I will be back in your ears on Tuesday. I almost want to apologize if I've triggered anyone. That's so weird that that's come up. I'm not going to, by the way, but I know that this will have brought up things for sure. But that's why you listen, isn't it? Not here to have just the surface level chats. We're here to go deep. And that's where I've been this week. All right, sending all my love, and I'll be back in your ears on Tuesday.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.